CliffCentral.com.
I was saying that I like the rain. Makes me feel like I can get more done in a day. Because you're not so distracted. If it's a beautiful day outside, you don't want to work.
Is this why they don't work in California?
They certainly work less than they do in colder places. Yeah. That's what I think. I mean, I might be wrong. Maybe there's no truth to this at all. There's no statistical evidence to bear it out. But it's what I think.
You know what's a great way to start the morning? I was walking to work. So I get off at the Gautrain station in Park, and then I walk up to work, right? It's like a 5-minute walk.
Mm-hmm.
There's this guy, 2 milk stouts. It's Monday morning. It's
first
like,
thing.
First thing. And then he's like, he's got like a dragon there. So he's going to chug these milk stouts and he's going to wash it down with the dragon. And then he's going to rear and go to work.
What a way to start your day, hey? Wow.
That's a way to start your
Imagine day. That's what you need.
That's what you need. Just tools.
To get your day started. You're like, not going to make it through the first 10 hours of the day if I don't have 2 milk stouts and a dragon. And that dragon energy drink looks like it's very hardcore.
Have you seen these energy drinks though?
I know some of them scare the hell out of me. I bought one because there's this one friend of mine. She loves those things. And she's developed some kind of I wouldn't say it's diabetes or anything.
Diabetes.
But she's definitely developed some sort of a reaction to these energy drinks. Because I think if you do too many of them, it screws up your system completely. Metabolically, it's got it right. Anyway, so I used to buy her these weird ones that you get at like those funny little shops that are run by like foreigners and they bring in shit that you don't see in any other shops. Yeah. And you think this has got to be like 99% just syrup and glucose. There's just nothing else going on in there. And it tastes like sweets, like those gummy bear sweets, right? I've seen those ones.
I
bought this for her. So I give it to her. She cracks it open. And she's like, whoa, even for me, this is too much. It's like, and they've designed these things to taste exactly like the sweets. So you get different, a Turkish Delight one. And I think this is pure flavorant, sugar. And like
nothing in that bottle is natural.
All the bad stuff.
Yeah, nothing in that bottle is natural.
Everything in there is going to kill you fast.
Yeah, very quickly. I guess your heart will be pumping like hell, but to the grave.
Oh no, your heart's going to be going all day. It's insane. All right. Good morning, bitches, says Sean. That's nice. I love it. I love being greeted with a good morning, bitches. And Lucky says, it stinks. I assume you mean those drinks. I don't know if they...
Or Joburg when it rains, because that's...
Dave says, I had colleagues who'd richly have a dragon and a cigarette for breakfast every morning. It's only a matter of time.
Well, I saw an article that maybe used to be recommended wine at some point.
You know, there's something very odd about like these people and their daily routines. I could very easily do without coffee, but it's become like a thing that I do now. And on a Thursday, I stop at the garage and I buy it for Pumi and for me. And it's become a thing. And I like establishing these rituals, but I sometimes think it's probably, I don't know that coffee is actually the best thing to wake up to. I know we're all used to it, but there is research that they've brought out just recently that says actually you should start your day with nothing
but water.
Yeah, you should fast for the first 6 hours of the day from 6 until 12. You don't need anything.
I'm actually listening to a podcast. I haven't gone through it, but it talks about coffee and how it's oversold that it's unhealthy for you, but like the only negative impact it has is on your sleep.
Yeah.
So, and then if your sleep falls, then everything falls, right?
Okay, well, I've got a hard and fast rule. So you're the doctor in the studio this morning. Do you think it matters if I have one in the morning, as long as if I have another one, which is unlikely, but if I have another one, it'll be before lunchtime and that's it. That's probably unlikely or does it last that long?
Nah, it probably doesn't last that long, but people are different. It's like, I know people are like, oh, I can't have one after midday. I can have one just before I sleep. Poof, gone.
And you'll still sleep like a baby.
I can have a monster. Gone.
Tell you what doesn't make you sleep well, because I know this from a couple of months back when I had a big night and alcohol just like for about 3 days, it just ruins your sleeping.
Yeah, it does.
That really messes your sleep up.
It does.
Because you're awake and asleep and awake and asleep. And it's a very disturbed, weird.
Like, not to go into this deep, but like, I think it messes up with your circadian rhythm. So you don't actually fall into that REM sleep. So even if you are asleep, you're technically passed out, but your brain is still firing.
Well, listen to what Basitsana does. She says, I have green tea in the morning and I fast until midday. William says, now for my third cup of coffee this morning. I have a sugar addiction. William, you gon' die. You gon' die.
Yep.
Yeah, and not 8 hours before sleep is what Kampamba says for coffee. Well, I don't know. I mean, again, whatever your routine, if your thing is two milk stouts.
Two milk stouts on a dragon.
And a dragon. Ooh. I feel like...
Have you ever had a milk stout?
No. I don't even drink Guinness.
Like, I've seen a milk stout.
I don't even drink Guinness.
I've always been fascinated by it because it's so black. It's blacker than Coke. And like, that can't be good for you.
And I really think that there's some kind of rule that actually white people aren't allowed it.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I've never seen white people drinking it.
Exactly. I think there's like, on the bottle, if you turn it around, you're like, alcohol may kill you. Also, white person.
Also, white people, this kill you too. Just stay away from it. Okay, so here's something interesting. So Dave says, digging the shirt. And then Basitsana also says, never seen you wearing a purple shirt. Think it's working. Okay, so...
Yes, the regal color.
So when I was on the trip recently to Greece and Rome, there was someone on there called Jolene, and she said to me, no, she studied this stuff, right? And she reckons if you are blonde with my sort of skin tone... that you've got to wear bright colors. Now, I've never paid attention to this. Women will have textbooks on this stuff in their houses, right? And they'll have search results that go back till they were, I don't know, 12, saying what colors you should wear. And there's like there's a summer and there's a winter and there's a spring and there's a whole thing that was worked out. But I don't know if this is still valid, but this is what she was talking about from the 90s or something. And she follows us to the letter, and she reckons it's the best way to go. So I don't know, but if people notice something, usually it's worth paying attention to yourself.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I should not wear, like, the worst color for me to wear is yellow. I look like shit wearing yellow.
That's literally your branding, black and yellow.
I know, but if I wear just plain, like, I look like I'm dying of liver problems.
Yeah.
Or kidney failure or something.
My jaundice.
Yeah, it's terrible, right? So I know that, but I don't know too much about the rest. And I have stopped applying my mind to that stuff.
But like, wait, okay, so three people just complimented you.
I know,
the lady on the trip. Clearly the shirt's working.
So what do you know for a fact that certain colors suit you better?
Yes, black. I wear
black most of the time.
Yes, all the time.
Because then it also... doesn't draw, because we're doing photographs the whole time here and there are people in and out, and it doesn't necessarily suggest that you saw like three people on one day and then nobody. So it's just, it works, and black is so straightforward. You don't have to worry about it clashing with whatever the background is or all that shit. So I know that. But besides black, is there a color you prefer to wear?
I prefer to wear black, but I got so many compliments. So I went to this dinner last week, right? And then Rina didn't recognize me.
Why? Because you dressed up properly?
Yeah, I dressed up. Yes, I dressed up properly for once. So I'm wearing a shirt and like these beige pants, and the shirt is like navy with like some kind of pattern. Right. And then I walk past her, and then she's like, And then I come greet her. She's like, oh, I didn't see you there. I've been seeing you walk around the room, but I didn't see that it was you. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I guess this does something. She's like,
Well, I don't know if that's like a lack of observant status.
It's Rina. She observes everything.
Well, maybe and maybe not. But if she didn't notice it was you until you were like right there standing next to her, that's like she's not paying attention. But then she liked the outfit you were wearing.
Yeah.
See, this is more of a woman thing than it is a guy thing. But I wouldn't know. Like, if you asked me what you wore yesterday, I have no idea.
Same.
I don't know what you were wearing. I could care less. I don't know what any of the girls were wearing yesterday.
But you have to compliment them.
No, but you will. I mean, like if one of the ladies here at work dresses well, or if someone in the family or one of my friends pitches up girls and they look good, I always say, hey, you look great. And I mean it, because I would have noticed. Yeah. And for me to notice means click, compliment, there we go. And it all makes sense. But do I remember the next day what they wore the previous day? Hell no. And do I know what other guys are wearing? Hell no. And I've never looked at a guy's outfit and gone, well, he's dressed nice. I must get a similar outfit.
Come on, you're lying. I can prove you're lying. Okay. I can literally prove you're
lying.
Tell me. James Bond.
Dude,
What is James Bond wearing?
Look
at tuxedo.
James, okay, so tuxedo is a uniform for all men at a black tie dinner. It's like in the book.
Yes.
So what you want is it must be a tuxedo, but it must fit you well. Mm. That's all. But it's not like that you can splash. I'm not going to wear like a blue tie or something, you know? Or I'm not some fashion forward kind of guy, and I never have been. I couldn't care less about it. But it is hilarious to me how much time some people spend on that stuff. And believe me, I'm not knocking it, because each to their own.
But like,
it's good that there are people who dress properly. If you're a guy and you're spending too much time thinking about what you're wearing, wasting your time.
Okay, well, counter argument just before we wrap it up.
Yeah.
Like these guys who focus on what the president wears and what tie projects what. Like if you're wearing a red tie, which means like.
Did you see Biden at the. He was at some turkey Thanksgiving pardoning thing that they do every year. And he suddenly gets this look on his face and he like moves very fast, almost like a slow jog back into the White House, like he shit his pants.
Probably.
I'm saying that like the Americans do, because it's funnier. He shat in his pants is the way I would usually say it, but it looks like he shat his pants. Okay. he ran into the house. I got to find this video for you. It is hilarious. Definitely something going on there. And he was wearing God knows what, because I didn't notice his
Eye. But nah.
No, it's unbelievable. So, all right. Stay the F away from my coffee. Face green smiling, says Max Sony. See, this coffee is important to people. Very important. Andrew Huberman says a late morning coffee is best. Just one cup. First thing in the morning, we need a little bit of salt. Okay.
So this is this like a neurologist guy who's like very, but like I've heard a lot of people debunk his stuff. So like
as Huberman?
Andrew Huberman. He's like a neurologist. He's a doctor, but he also does podcasts.
I heard like 15 minutes of him on someone's podcast the other day, and I didn't find it very compelling.
Yeah,
that's just me. Maybe I'm not the right guy for this stuff, because I'm not looking for self-help stuff. I know it's big. All over the world, some of the most popular podcasts are these self-help ones, but I just feel like a lot of very average people are doing their damnedest to be a little bit better than average, and they suck this stuff up like it's crystal meth, and it doesn't make them that much better. For example, I can think of two people who I know, they're not really friends of mine, but I know them, and they are like slaves to these self-help podcasts, and they fall for every trend, right? They go for the cold plunge first thing in the morning. They take like a tablespoon of salt or whatever it is. They do all of the stuff that people are talking about now in the comments, but then they haven't improved.
imagine going through all of that.
They're not better people. And I think to myself, wow, you're waking up at the time I have to wake up for work, but you don't have to. And you're getting into an ice cold, literally a freezer filled with ice. I mean, some of them have the professional thing going where they've got like I don't know, 40, 50 grand tub in their house that they paid for.
You couldn't pay me enough money to jump in a cold shower.
Dude, I wouldn't get in this pool until I know for a fact that it is the hottest day ever and it's 37 degrees in that water. These people are doing it and they're falling for it and it's not doing anything for them. They don't look better. They don't seem to be more interesting than they were the day before. They have not become suddenly overnight like massive successes. I'm like, what are you? You're wasting your time. I hate to break it to you, but you are just dead average. And that's the truth for a lot of people.
And it's okay.
Sure, of course. We need average people. The world is reliant on average people. Who else is going to do the lawyering and accounting and stuff?
Yep.
Right? I say that as a former law student.
Yes.
Alcohol ruins many, many things. Self-control, sleep, health, relationships, reputations. I can go on. Sunmary, it sounds like you had a bad relationship with alcohol. I mean, sure.
Yeah, you were using it for the wrong reasons.
I mean, sure. Right. And then you must listen to the Diary of a CEO podcast with Dr. Mindy. She really explains how we should eat while the sun is up and doing intermittent fasting and WHT. And I think that means what it does to your gut health. Well, this gut health thing is fascinating.
Dude.
Again, we had such an interesting conversation yesterday with two doctors who popped in to tell us about these antimicrobials. Antimicrobial resistance, these huge problems they're having in hospitals because these microbes are evolving so quickly against our antibiotics
yep.
that we actually don't have a first line of defense anymore. And we're increasingly forced to use more and more dangerous chemicals and to try pharmaceuticals that have perhaps all kinds of other side effects, but we're desperate to just try and sort out the infection problem. Yeah. And while we were talking to them, Bakabantu and I wish this had happened on the show, but we can still talk about it. So Dr. Fatima Patel says to us on the way out, well, what one of the things that they've found that really works is what they call a fecal transplant.
Dude.
So sit comfortably because we're about to tell you what this is.
So,
all right. In case you haven't had your breakfast this morning, you might want to hold off on that. Maybe you don't want any breakfast after you hear this.
Yeah, maybe you're looking at that coffee somewhat differently now.
So Dr. Patel says to us, oh, no. When you're trying to deal with like some of these severe infections, the best thing you can do is take like some human feces from one patient, make a smoothie out of it. I don't know what kind of device you would use, whether you just pop that in your Nutribullet. I don't know. Speaking about hygiene yesterday and just how generally unclean people are and drains, and this freaked me the hell out.
But Gareth, we need to remember this is fecal from, like, this is feces from a healthy person.
Sure.
This person is
still it doesn't make me want it anymore. And then what they do is they take this fecal smoothie and they put it in the large intestine of an unhealthy
patient.
It's
a transplant, yeah.
And it actually sorts them out.
Mm.
Which is just mind-blowing. Who knew that all we needed
was feces,
was someone else's shit?
Yeah, just eat some shit.
Wow. I mean, you don't have to eat it. They put it in you, like suppository or whatever. But how revolting and how clever at the same time.
It's so smart. But like, imagine that first person who pitched this.
Oh,
like,
my God. Oh, and this is very important. Thank you. Tsanola says, did you see the Snoop Dogg no smoking thing? Basically an ad for a smokeless fire pit. Because I saw, someone in, I think it was Josh, I think, maybe sent this to me on Instagram yesterday. I almost crashed the car because I thought this whole Snoop thing had me so freaked out yesterday that he'd given up smoking weed. I was like, well, what is he going to do with the rest of his life? The last thing we need is like a Snoop Dogg going to gym and eating right and becoming one of these average, highly functional, you know, what are they called? Hugely, maximally efficient men. Like, I'm just so not, I'm not interested. Like, not for Snoop. Snoop is the guy who we want to, we want him to rap. We want him to smoke weed. We want him to make jokes.
Yeah.
And we want him to look like Snoop. If he suddenly he must be thin and he must be like wiry and he must be wired and he must have like bloodshot eyes. The day Snoop looks healthy and he puts on muscle, then the world is gonna end. Talk about the end is nigh. So someone, thank God, broke the news to me yesterday. It was all just a ruse.
Sure.
He's not giving up weed. I don't care about weed, but I'm glad Snoop hasn't given up.
I don't care.
That would have been the biggest, imagine how that would have been a sucker punch to the weed industry.
Yeah.
Yo.
A huge knock.
Yeah, I mean, like, people would have questioned the existence of the Almighty.
It's like I got this email about like the Mexico government launching an inquiry about you quitting tequila next year.
It would be weird, right? Well, I'm going to. I'm damn sure I'm going to do this, whether I like it or not. I might not know what to do. Here's the thing that worries me about it. Is I thought, because for me, I genuinely don't even really care about alcohol. It's not even the effect even. It's just something to do.
Yeah.
See, I don't dance. Sometimes you don't want to talk. There's loud music. What do? You like drink with your friends.
Mm.
And I just think, well, what am I going to do with my hands?
So like,
what do I do with my hands? What am I going to, should I sit there and draw the whole, like doodle? What am I going to do?
But do you think like now you're going to like retreat into your reclusiveness?
No, I don't think I'll become antisocial. I'll just have to learn to see. It was also, I will admit this, it used to be when I used to DJ.
Mm.
It was like I wouldn't say a coping mechanism, but it was a way to make other people more interesting. Because what I would do is I would be drinking with them. So first of all, you connect with them on that level. And these were people I didn't know very well. These are people I met for the first time, maybe. Oh, yeah, let's have a drink. And then because it was tequila, it made you feel like, you know, they were much more interesting than they actually were. So I'm worried about getting bored, and I'm worried about not knowing what to do with my hands. So maybe I must take like plasticine and like, make
or
like
just get a Rubik's cube. And just like
a Rubik's cube.
Yeah, exactly. You'll solve one of those like by March. You're like,
all right, yeah, I'll solve. Listen, my nephew can do that Rubik's cube in like a minute and a half.
A minute,
and he's 9 years old.
I
looked at him. And I'm like, that is such a great trick. I would have been using that to impress girls at school the whole fucking time.
He's nine, Gareth.
I'm like blown away.
Like all those 9 year olds, like,
like that. I would be using, and that would be like my party trick. I'd be like, here, make it as complicated as you want. Here we go. So that is a fun one, but I think it's super nerdy for someone at my age to be doing it.
Yeah.
Gotta find something else to do.
I don't know. So I was convinced when we got a Rubik's Cube at home that if I solve this, like, it's gonna unlock the mind. It's gonna like beautiful mind. It's gonna open up my mind. I'm gonna be like some super genius. And I finished one and it was so underwhelming because I realized halfway through it that there's a pattern.
Yeah, exactly.
You just need to twist it in like just one direction all the time.
There's a trick to it, but the people who know the trick, it's almost like these magicians.
Yeah.
And I put magicians in inverted commas because there's no such thing.
Yeah. Illusionists.
Yeah. They learn a trick or two and then that is what they do. And they use it to impress simple-minded people. And simple-minded people go, "Ooh, he pulled a rabbit out of the hat." You know, he sawed that woman in half.
Well, he did.
In a world of CGI and artificial intelligence, and telescopes that can see further than our solar system, and microscopes that can see to the size of an atom, people are impressed with a man sawing a woman in half an illusion trick. I have to ask you, if you're a serious person, if you find a card trick exciting, but you don't think that a nebula in a nearby galaxy is mind-blowing, I have to question how thick you must be.
Yeah, but like you need to realize that the nebula, it was all created by NASA because the world is flat and there is no other planet.
Stop it. So like, next thing you'd be telling me Putin is dead. I heard this rumor over the weekend. Putin's dead. No, really, that Vladimir Putin died like 3 months ago.
So who? Wait, what?
No, that's all I know. Okay, and whether that's true or not, we will find out. But yeah, this is what someone told me. Massive conspiracy theorists. I like having them in my life because they give me a reason to laugh.
Yeah.
But can you take them seriously? I should hope not. Gareth, you must listen to Gary Brecker, his human biologist. And he has a recent podcast with Joe Rogan as well. He's no doctor, but talks more sense. He tackles the whole over-medication thing. Yeah, Yonder, thank you. That's worth a listen. Morning team, says Timothy. Best way to treat toothache. I'm done removing. I'll end up like a Cape Townian. Well, go to the dentist. Yes. Don't ask us. Imagine, you're going to bring your car to Bakabantu and I to fix?
No.
What are we going
to
do?
You know this phenomenon, right? Like a dentist once told me that people like going to a dentist that will tell them what they want to hear. Because no one wants to hear that your tooth is rotten, right?
You need a new tooth.
Yeah, exactly. So you go to the first dentist.
But they make, they do fillings there and then. They put in implants. It's quick. These days, it's such a routine thing.
But there's something about the dentist and the drills. I don't know.
I hate it. But look, don't get me wrong.
It's programmed into our heads.
I know. And I sympathize with those people because I'm the same. I do not know. Those drills go and I go on edge. I start sweating. I it's the most horrible place you could possibly put me. But twice a year, you go for the cleaning or whatever.
Exactly.
Just look after your teeth. Here's a thing that someone told me who's very old. I got friends who are 20-something and I got friends who are 80-something. And one of the 80-something friends of mine said to me, just look after your teeth because that is a nightmare if you get old and you can't even enjoy food, can't chew, constantly in pain. So I'll tell you what, the only advice we have for you, Timothy, go to the dentist today.
Yes, it's as simple as that.
Go. All right. A lot of comments here about all kinds of things. Carlos says, remember Flax's dad had to do that. He transplanted the whole family. He was tested to donate. Yes. In fact, I do remember Flax's dad had a fecal transplant.
How that you
mentioned. Yeah, he was very sick. Mm. Yeah, it happens. Snoop is switching to edibles. Said he's giving up on the smoke. Well, I wouldn't believe that. Let's wait and see. I think he's advertising some new product. That's what I think it is.
Well, you know, I stumbled onto this. So my friend has this entire Shein thing, right? I just thought about
what?
This. Like, you know what Shein is?
Shein, is that because some people pronounce it Shine?
Yeah, but I think it's Shein. I don't know.
Okay, so hang on, because this is also something I found out about on this trip. I didn't know this existed. Shein, Shein, yeah. Or Shine,
yeah.
Is a website to buy clothes on.
Yeah, from China.
And apparently this is the place to go because you get all the clothes you could possibly want. They're cheap as chips. They deliver them to you. You don't need to, I mean, what a dream. We talk about not caring about what you wear.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the place to buy the stuff.
Right. This place is like, so my friend is.
We're not advertising for them because I don't even know who runs the thing. Exactly. Might be run by a sweatshop in Macau for all we know.
That's what my friend found out. So he's on this entire thing about like, so we have these woke girls like in our friend circle. So he, like all of them are like, oh, you guys like still like R. Kelly and whatnot. He's very bad.
All right.
He's a bad man.
He's being canceled.
Yeah. We've canceled.
R. Kelly's canceled. Yes, and Kanye's canceled.
Yes. So he still likes Kanye. He still likes R. Kelly's music, hates R. Kelly. So he's like, nah, what's the difference between me listening to R. Kelly and you guys buying clothes from Shein? And the girls are like, wait, what do you mean about Shein? He's like, oh, you guys don't know. And he's like, come closer.
And he tells them about the sweatshops.
He's like, five-year-old babies making this. He's like,
well, I don't doubt it.
So now
their little hands, sometimes the little stitches.
Like, this is why they're so pretty. He's like, these kids are really good. Right. So he just rags on them. So, but like, I ended up on this side and I found these weird ass stuff that you can buy there.
Oh, so you went and looked on this website?
Yes. So I took the plunge.
See, girls know all about this. I only found out about Shein or Shine.
Yeah,
I don't know how you pronounce it.
I think it's Shein.
I don't know, dude.
But it's Chinese. It's Shine. Or I don't know. But anyway, I know.
What kind of stuff do you get? What the hell are those?
So these, Gareth, I present to you are finger condoms.
Finger condoms.
Yes. Like, you know, you don't want your fingers to get dirty. Maybe you're eating chips or something. Just put on your finger condoms.
You are kidding me. And they sell these?
They sell these.
How much?
Oh, come on. Everything there is cheap. Everything is cheap. Like, I didn't put the price.
10 rand a pack.
10 rand a pack. Like, you get like a 50 or something.
So,
like,
finger condoms. Finger that's condoms. Interesting.
Exactly. Like, in your club. Okay, no, that's a lot.
That's insane. All right. So, finger condoms. I didn't even know you
I
got
those.
I
thought this was cool, though. So, I found this.
A heart vase.
A heart vase.
That's pretty disturbing, though. I mean, it's actually, it's very.
It's an actual heart.
That's very interesting. Yeah. It's not an actual heart. It's shaped like a heart.
I'm saying, but it's not the Cupid nonsense.
No, it's not that little, sad little heart shaped thing. It's an actual heart shape.
And then this was the best part.
What the hell is this?
So, you know, like fanny packs are it, right?
Fanny packs that you sling in front of you,
exactly.
Put your money in and your phone and all that stuff.
Now imagine it looks like a boop.
It does. It looks like a belly. Yes. A boopence.
Yeah, exactly. Even got the head, everything.
Oh, that's disgusting.
That is disgusting.
Some guys don't need that. They've got the real one.
Now imagine bringing a girl home from the club and then like she takes off her socks and you find this.
Oh, wow. She's got hooves or paws.
Paws. I don't know what that is, but all I know is that can't be nice. That can't be
okay,
right.
So let me explain to people who are not watching on YouTube. These are like stockings, come up to just under the knees. But on the foot, the print on it makes it look like she's got like cat's paws. Caracal paws. I don't know what you'd even call those.
I have no idea.
So you went and looked on the site to find the weirdest things you could find.
Yep, pretty much. But now this one, I will buy for producer Ryan on his birthday next year.
Okay, what do we got?
It's a keychain of a chicken nugget.
What a horrible thing. What a horrible thing.
But I'm sure you like it.
But it's cheap enough. You see, if you're going to buy a gag gift, it's got to be cheap.
It's got to be cheap.
Because you don't want to waste
money.
The
greatest punchline ever. Yeah,
because if it's a stupid, like, that's an ugly, hideous gift. A chicken nugget keyring is a terrible thing to give anyone. But if you're going to buy it and it's cheap, it's worth it.
Exactly.
Because the laugh.
The laugh is timeless, right?
There we go. All right. So this is a site to go to. I got to check out the site, though, because they do say that the prices are really good.
Yeah, but apparently.
I don't care how many children have been working in the background with their little hands on those stitches.
They're not working hard enough.
In some factory in rural China. That's not my problem. It's not my child. It's not my. And frankly. You know what? The Chinese mustn't lecture us about capitalism when they themselves are the arch capitalists.
Bruh. So,
how many children you got? Oh, about five. Put them all into work in the factory. Okay, no problem. What do I get? You get about 1-2 remember each child per hour.
But like, there's this thing, right? What do you call it? Like, what, Alibaba? Also, like, it's also just crazy. You can buy electronics and stuff. Just
yeah.
Ridiculous.
Right.
Like, you get like a PlayStation 5. It's knockoff. It won't work.
Sure.
But you can get it for like $100.
I always have to say Sheen, Shine, Shane when I talk about that site, says B.
Like, yeah, you end up saying that one, man. We all know what
why,
it is.
Why are we only finding out about this now? Because I didn't know about this site until this last 2 months.
No, I found this from my sisters because like she once called me. She's like, oh, can you please pay for my customs? I'm like, customs? Like, no, I ordered clothes. Customs? I'm still like, yeah, from Take A Lot. No, from Shein.
But so they deliver it to a post box?
Yeah.
Because your post office won't get it to you. You're screwed. Well, it's got to go by courier,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it goes through Postnets and whatnot. Like, yeah,
oh boy.
Basically. Like, but you have to pay customs. It's like, so the clothes are cheap, but customs, that's where they get you. So it's better to buy in bulk. But what I found out from my sister is that, A, for guys, it's very unreliable because the sizes are off, right? Because Chinese people are tiny.
Okay, so you have to order bigger than normal.
Yeah, you're like, so if you're a medium, you're a Chinese large.
Okay, got you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's useful information. Apparently, Mel says, this is disgusting. You use finger condoms to extract pimples and blackheads.
I don't know.
How gross.
Oh, this is nice. V-Roos.
Yeah, what does he say?
It's pronounced
Sheen.
He still doesn't know. That's how it's written.
Nobody knows how it's... Although Bazitsana says it's pronounced Sheen. Okay. I don't know. You guys are 2 years behind. You see, Yonder knows this. Sure. 2 years behind, Shein is the Chinese superbalist. Most of the influencers and girls always buy their RSA. Government actually had a memorandum to stop it early this year for anti-dumping. God damn. How come I only found out about this now? I feel so out of it. Right?
Yeah.
I don't understand people's fascination with this kachelkak. China makes the biggest shit out of plastic and then we complain about the environment getting screwed. Well, people want to buy stupid stuff.
Yeah,
that's the whole reason they work is to have money to buy dumb things like a heart vase.
But what I learned, everyone wearing these NASA t-shirts, that's where they get them.
Oh, they're getting them from there?
They get them from there. Wow. All these NASA t-shirts and all these like cool brands. Like, no, I'm sure China's not paying a lick of royalties to NASA about that.
Okay, well, VB says that the prices are cheap. Custom charges on the order is a gamble. Because I used to order some stuff from like the US or from Europe, and then the customs was more expensive.
Yeah.
The duties you had to pay to import the stuff via the post office. First of all, the post office is unreliable. So you got to get past that somehow. If somebody knows how to do that, please let me know. And then second of all, that sometimes the customs, the duty would be more than the actual product. And then I just look at it and go,
you just leave it there.
I'm actually not going to take this. It's not worth it.
A friend of mine got a bill. He's like, nah, I'm not going to pay that much.
Yeah. And I don't know what happens then. Do the post office just keep it?
Well, they do, right? They open these stuff.
I'm sure they do.
I'm sure like there's some guy wearing a WWE title that ordered one day.
I'm pretty sure that's what happens. Yeah. They just keep it. All right. Very, very good. If anybody has suggestions here, let us know. Sharon says, my parcel's delivered to my house. I've not paid any customs.
That sounds like a crime.
That sounds awesome. No, good. We must circumvent this system wherever possible. We must not pay this government a single cent more than they deserve. And when you're buying something from China, it's got nothing to do with the South African government.
Well,
zero.
Xi Jinping and Cyril are pretty close.
I don't care. No one giving them any more money. Am I right?
Yeah.
Sheen Shine does door-to-door via a company called Buffalo. No post office. Duties are actually cheap. For 3,000 rands worth of clothes, you only pay 500 rand. No. You have to be careful not to order above 1,400 and your customs add up to another 150. So people know this stuff. You see, people are on this. They know what's going on. It's just you and me that are stupid about this stuff.
Hey, Gareth, we choose what we want to. We know about ancient Rome and whatnot. Like, I know. Choose your battles, guys.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been missing out here. If this is true, I'm never buying clothes at a local shop again. I could care less about the local textile industry. Sorry, guys. You're out of luck. I'm going for the cheap stuff.
Whatever. Buy local, Gareth.
Well, didn't we already say we don't care what we wear and guys don't even notice what other guys wear? So what's the point of worrying about it? Okay, let's turn our attention to actually important things. Africanalysis is our chance to catch up with JJ Cornish. And it's brought to you by the Johannesburg Business School. We look at what happens around the continent, and he is on standby and ready to fill us in on all the important things. Bonjour, JJ. How are you?
Bonjour. I'm immensely well. I was glad to hear you talking about the dentist.
Yes.
I went just yesterday to the dentist, sat in his comfortable chair.
Yes.
Leaned over, and I grabbed him by the testicles and said, "We're not going to hurt each other today, are we?" No, that part's not true. But he did say to me, "Your teeth are perfect, but your gums have to come out."
JJ, that's horrible. But I do like your strategy. I like your strategy for keeping the dentist from hurting you. That's very clever.
I think so.
I have a lady dentist, so I don't think that will work.
But I'll come up with something and mail you.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, and then I will reward you with some cheap Chinese clothing that I'll get imported for you. All right, so JJ, let's just talk quickly about some of the things that are happening at the moment, because there's another week and a pile of new information about a country that we haven't discussed for some time, Liberia. And well done to them. A seamless change of power in Liberia after a closely fought election. This is truly worth celebrating, because we have few and far between of these in our continent of Africa recently. Liberia, peaceful transition of power, which is more than we can say for America, when Joe Biden and Donald Trump went up against each other the last time.
Yeah, and I mean, how many times have the American elections? I mean, I've been lectured to by Americans on this is how to do it. But then again, they screw it up very badly towards the end. Well, Joseph Boakai, who's 78 years old now, he beats George Weah, the former soccer star. I don't know if you call a former soccer star former. I think he was a soccer star and remains.
Yeah,
that.
He was.
Nevertheless, Boakai, he got 50.9%, and Weah got 49.1%. There were 28,000 votes separating the two of them. So there's plenty of room for a dispute there. But Weah said, "I am putting the national interest ahead of personal interest." Congratulations to you, Joseph. He beat him, by the way, in the first elections in 2020, the last time round. But he beat him he got something like 65%. But it seems the people are very disappointed in him. And there's things like electricity cuts. Oh, who could ever live with that? No wonder they want to change the government. And potholed roads. I mean, can you imagine living in a country with potholes in your roads? I can't. Absolutely, unspeakably awful. Apparently, the road from the airport home into the capital is filled with potholes. These poor guys, how do they manage? I simply can't imagine. But anyway, are we going to throw out our government for that? I wonder. But it's an interesting turnaround.
JJ, yeah? I mean, it's cool that the guy who conceded the election and did the right thing is a footballer. Maybe that's the key, is that we need more footballers in
sportsmanship.
Politics. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if I go into politics, I'm going to go like a cricketer. In other words, I'm going to wear a cricket protector at all times, because you can't trust it. When you get up close and personal with these politicians, they play dirty. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
For sure.
But I mean, but basically, the things he promised, he never delivered on. Now, I've never heard of that either with politicians. So they have poverty, they have unemployment, they have food insecurity. No wonder George Weah went. I mean, if politicians behaved like that, none would stay in office. I'm absolutely sure of that.
All right, let's talk about the DRC, because they are about to start their month-long election campaign in a climate of political uncertainty. No, not in the DRC. Political uncertainty? Can't be.
Well, in the East, Felix Tshisekedi running, they're actually going to change the peacekeeping force there now. I'm sure they're going to keep them there till after the elections, which are on the 20th of December. I don't know why they have them so close to Christmas. I've been there as an election observer, and then trying to get onto a plane to get home for Christmas is an absolute nightmare.
Maybe they actively want to do it at a time where people are at home. I don't know. Maybe that's it. But who is this guy you spoke about? Because you seem to think we all know who he is in the east of the DRC.
Well, no, Felix Tshisekedi is the president.
Felix. Sorry, you know, we had no idea who Felix was. Sorry.
Well, Felix. Okay. Like, somebody know him. Like, I mean, Felix.
You say it like he's your friend from varsity or something. We had no idea who you're talking about.
Well, I must tell you that if he loses the election, I'm probably going to invite him home for Christmas. So you can pop by and meet Felix if you'd like to. But, yes, you know, he's asking for another mandate. And there are 26 candidates. You know, the opposition, no fools, they say, how can we have, you know, we're just dispersing. And this is what happens all over Africa, too many candidates. So five of the top opposition groups were in South Africa. They met here last week to create a single candidate. And that's the best way they can of making Felix doesn't come and have turkey with me on the 25th of December.
But is he likely to win again?
It looks like it. You know, he looks like he's going to win it. But the problem, of course, in the east of the country, that is where they have the violence, in Ituri and in North Kivu and those areas, which is where I always go when I go as an observer. Very, very interesting part of the world, but a very troubled one.
Yeah, I'm a little bit jealous of you going to all these far-flung places, because these definitely aren't on the usual tourist menu, you know, and it seems to me that when you've gone to a place like the Eastern DRC, you really get a good idea of what's happening in the world. It's not one of those places that, you know, there's terribly much firsthand information coming from.
You know, it's chocolate box beautiful, but people just don't want to be there. Lake Kivu is just fantastic, although it does have these huge clouds of methane gas that bubble up from the bottom. And if you happen to be on a fishing boat when this happens, that's the last time you take fish out of the water. They find whole boats full of people dead from the methane gas. Well, of course, the Rwandans have got Russian technology, and they're trying to harvest this methane gas. It's a very interesting plant they have there, and going to sell it. But really, Kivu is just such a beautiful city, and I mean, I love going there, but as I say, it's very, very difficult around there, and certainly the East African community moved troops in to try and calm things down. They haven't worked with this group called M23, the rebel group, so now we're going to have SADC. They just signed a deal on that one, to SADC troops going in, and then MONUSCO, which has been there since the 90s, they're going to move out. But as I say, I think they're going to keep them there until after the elections on the 20th of December.
JJ, what about Kenya? Because President William Ruto is going to Germany to get jobs for Kenyans. How does that work?
Well, if you're professional, skilled, or semi-skilled, you could be one of 250,000 Kenyans who get jobs in Germany. Currently, in Berlin, they have the Compact with Africa Summit. Now, that's the G20, the world's richest countries, and Africa meeting there. And that the G20 is offering $4.5 billion to boost clean energy in Africa. And Olaf Scholz, the chancellor, fronts that one with a big smile on his face, giving you know, handing out clean energy to the Africans. But very interesting that William Ruto has been promised this. It was back in May that they spoke about it. Now he's gone to see if the Germans will deliver on that. But, you know, what do? Send 250,000 of your most skilled people out of an African country into the West. Yeah. You know, Germany, I mean, most of these countries that complain about getting migrants need them desperately for their economies to run. You know, I can remember in the 70s, the Germans resisting fiercely the onslaught of Turkish migrants. Well, it's widely recognized now that unless they had a substantial body of Turkish migrants in Germany, the economy just wouldn't turn over. So suddenly the Turks are fine, but they still do resist the migrants coming over from the Mediterranean. Well, and that way.
I mean, Isn't this why in Berlin the most popular dish is doner kebab, right?
I'm not surprised. What a city Berlin is. What a city. I just love going there. It really, when you go there, you feel you're at the beating heart of Europe, you know, and a fascinating place to be. I mean, I've been there during the Cold War time to have those cold-eyed East Germans looking at you like, looking at you like you're about to get on an El Al flight or something. But
sounds like an Elton John song. Right. Okay. So what else do we need to know? Because we haven't for a long while done one of your deep dives into one of the African countries. I'm very interested in South Sudan. And Pumi, who does the show with me on a Thursday morning, she said she's got a friend who's in South Sudan. We've got a listener who's in the South Sudan. And I also know someone who's over there at the moment. Seems like it's all the rage right now. Why would that be?
Well, you know, it's the youngest African country. It's, of course, Sudan, once the biggest country in Africa, broke. Mm-hmm. Now, not supposed to be able to do that in terms of the African scheme of things. You can't break from your colonial boundaries, because if you did, I mean, the whole continent would be in an absolute mess. But because of the length and bloodiness of the civil war there, the African Union decided, okay, let them split. And that also was along the Arab and African line. So the majority of people, Salva Kiir, who runs South Sudan, he's an African. And they have political troubles. Virtually from their birth, they've had problems. Now, I don't know what the people are doing there, but I don't imagine they're there on tourism. They're probably aid or development people or something like that, because that is what South Sudan desperately needs. And they have problems with rebel groups from Uganda. And so the neighbors, of course, you know, whenever there is a problem, the South Sudanese have to move into the neighboring states who can't accommodate them. And now those poor neighboring states are having to take refugees from Sudan itself. And of course, that situation in Sudan, particularly in Darfur, is not looking very bright. So if you ask me, would you like to go to South Sudan? I would ask you a million questions about exactly where and what my exit strategy would be, or what your strategy would be to get me out of there pretty quickly.
Okay, so in other words, not, again, just like East DRC, not necessarily a tourist trap, not the kind of place that you would rush to as a tourist.
I would say don't take your thongs and your neat little Louis Vuitton backpack with you. I think you might need something a little more heavyweight than that.
I'm so glad to have you on the show. You're the only person who's been able to say Louis Vuitton properly, because most of the people pronounce it horrendously.
It's Louis Vuitton. Chief.
Louis Vuitton.
It's Vuitton.
And you said something interesting, JJ, about the president of South Sudan. You said he's an African, and I just want you to explain, because there's an ethnic component to that part of the world which makes the divisions that much more glaring. There's a religious component, there's an ethnic component. Just explain that, because I don't think a lot of people entirely understand it.
Well, essentially, Sudan is majority, but only just majority Arab. Yes. Now, when you say this, and the problem, and Darfur, for example, is majority African. Now, when you say this to them, they get very angry. They say, there's no difference, we're all Sudanese. But the fact is, if you want to be a Sudanese, you know, better choose to be an Arab. You'll get a better break. You know, I suppose it's like being Swiss. If you want to be Swiss, then be German Swiss. Don't be Italian Swiss, you know, because you'll have a better life as a German Swiss. And these are just realities, ethnic realities in any country. But they are in spades in Sudan. Maybe I could have phrased that better, but nevertheless.
Yeah, I think it's these are the curiosities for example, whenever I'm talking to people about the Balkans, it's easy to explain to them that the difference between a Croat and a Serb and a Montenegrin and a Bosnian is usually about their religious inclinations more than anything else. It's important to know the stuff so that when you meet someone from South Sudan, you can then have these conversations and they can actually go somewhere rather than you just sitting there going, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow, the whole time until you're bored.
Yeah. Well, look, Sudan, terribly interesting country. And of course, with South Sudan has the oil. But to get the oil out, they have to go through Sudan to go to the terminal at Port Sudan. And that is a huge problem. Now, there are countries saying, well, let us build you a pipeline out of South Sudan somewhere else. But when you look at the geography, that's not easy. There is a pipeline being built around Lake Victoria, the largest lake, freshwater lake in the world. There's a pipeline being built around Lake Victoria from South Sudan onto the east coast of Africa. I've got a friend who's actually busy working on it. But, you know, so until they do that, they can't be completely independent of Sudan. And they want that independence from Sudan. They didn't fight a bloody civil war, you know, just because they didn't like them as neighbors or you know, they wanted to throw them off their WhatsApp group or something. It's quite serious, the problem between the two of them. And so, you know, Sudan has grown up developmental problems, but problems within itself in terms of civil war and so on. So one prays for Sudan, or South Sudan, as the youngest African country, but it needs quite a bit of praying, I have to tell you that.
So JJ, just one last thing, because we hardly ever have time with you. It usually feels like it just flies by. Which African country would you most like to get a free ticket to visit right now, and which one would you least like to get a free ticket to visit right now?
I know an answer to this one. He hates Morocco.
You wouldn't want to go to Morocco, huh?
I love Morocco. I love Moroccans, but the Moroccan government hate my guts.
Yeah.
And they've been kind enough to call me l'assassin de plume, the assassin with the pen.
Well, that's great.
Which I'm having made into a T-shirt. And I'm going to sell that through Shein, you know. The assassin of the pen. I'll certainly make more money than writing about Morocco. So I think that has to be the country I'd least like to go to, because if I did, I would end up on toll, you know, behind bars.
Yes.
But countries that I would like to go to, I love Tunisia, and I quite like Algeria too. But those, they have their troubles. And then certainly Mauritius. Anybody would want to go to Mauritius, the most developed African country. And I also absolutely adore Madagascar, although they're having real trouble at the moment with their election. And apparently it's gone backwards quite substantially since I was last there, when I was there as an election observer the previous election.
What's gone wrong there? Because for a while they were a little bit more stable. What happened?
Well, they've been run by a DJ. Andry Rajoelina is, in fact, he's a very bad dude. He threw out and he's a DJ. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Young guy, full of rock and roll, but not a clue on how to run the country. You know, I remember coming and flying away from where I was the election observer. And this woman on the plane with me said, are you aware of she was a development worker, and said, are you aware of the plague in the South? I said, actually not. You know, I've come as an election observer. Plague. They have plague, a plague every year. So, I mean, the thing about it is, if you are in Madagascar, my best advice is don't keep any pet rats.
Well,
don't they have lemurs in the?
Can I tell you something? That's good advice all round. Don't keep pet rats. I'm gonna put that into the.
I'll put that on a T-shirt and sell it on Shein.
Well, I have a T-shirt made with it.
That's the plan.
Any wooden nickels. Don't keep any pet rats. Yeah.
Very good. A joking atheist says the only African country I want to visit is Wakanda. There's no such place. I'm sorry to break it to you. All right. No. Thanks very much, JJ. Lovely to see you. And thank you for all your useful information this morning. We'll catch up with you in a couple of days' time.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you. JJ Cornish and the Johannesburg Business School bringing you African analysis every Tuesday, every 2 weeks on cliffcentral.com.
While JJ was talking about like this pipeline and trying to reach a harbor, made me think about our harbor. You know, we can't port ships in South Africa.
No, this came up yesterday. I was talking to Tony Leon, the former leader of the opposition, who was in Joburg for a short while. He was telling me that something like 71,000 1,000 containers are currently waiting to either be able to be unloaded or loaded in Cape Town and Durban Harbour. We have huge problems. So if you have ordered something from Shein,
it's probably
it's not coming. Yeah. Forget it. It's on some ship that's stranded outside the harbor.
Sure.
How irritating is
like,
that?
We have it there. And you know what's going to be worse, right? Because they have to load it on a truck because our rail system doesn't work.
So then the roads are going to be a mess.
December and we're
but
all
don't worry. But don't worry. Votela EANC.
Yes. Oh. Vote for change. Yeah.
By the way, I did see there was a lot of interesting stuff about the registrations this weekend.
Yeah.
I wonder if you'd be curious to know about this. I got from somebody who's paying attention to this stuff, a guy called Davi Skultz, who's probably our best election analyst in the country. He said, here's my hypothesis. This is what he said on social media yesterday, so it's no secret. He says, pattern of new registrations slanting heavily towards white suburban and urban areas in general. We'll look into it once we get the detailed numbers. But he said that's bad news for the ANC. Went on to say, apparently there were 570,000 new registrations.
Yeah.
That's very good, right?
Yeah.
But he says it's a weak number.
It is a weak number, seeing that like how many people were not registered before, right? And we had like a huge influx of new voters into the system.
It's the first weekend of new registrations. Apparently in 2019, there were 660,000 of these. 2021, 520,000, and in 2022, 570,000.
So in a country, we're a country of like 60 million plus. You know what the voter roll is? 26.8 mil.
Yeah. So
that's less than half.
In other words, we have all our work ahead of us.
Yes.
Anyway, that's the useful information for this morning. We're going to talk to Jen Su. I love Jen Su. We haven't caught up with her in such a long time, and she's got lots to tell us. She's been so busy, and she's going to be joining us live on the show this morning from the US, where she's, it must be either very early in the morning or very late at night.
It's like 11.
I'm so pleased to speak.
I'm sure it's like 5 to midnight that side.
So we'll catch up with the great Jen Su next. Don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.